Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Hey, coast to coast, no matter where you are, sit back, relax, and welcome into the show. This is Just Saying It. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson, here for the next 2 hours. And on the other side of the glass, we got the man, the myth, the legend, the greatest producer of this side of the Mississippi River, Mike Hernandez. And Mike, I got to tell you something. In life, now more than ever, know when to quit. Know when to quit. In whatever you want it to be, know when to quit. Learn how to say no and move on. It's not worth the stress. It's not worth the anxiety. And it's definitely not worth the toll that it's going to take on your brain and your body. And Joe Looney did that. Joe Looney, for those of you who don't know, was a former veteran offensive lineman who mostly is known for his time with the Dallas Cowboys. Signed a one-year deal with rival New York Giants, because again, he has very good ties with Jason Garrett. Comes to practice, shows up, looks the part. After the scrum, everyone's talked about this, the scrum, the big old brawl between Logan Ryan and Evan Engram, where he got involved in, he pops his head out of the scrum and goes, "You know what? I'm too old for this, man. Thank you. Thank you. This has been fun. I'm good. I'm good." Retires instead of plays. Now, don't get me wrong. He's had a very good NFL career. He's played in 104 games. He's made 42 starts. But this feels very much like a guy who is trying to prove that he is still young enough to hang with, like, the cool kids. Or, like, somebody who's, like, really old in their office. It's like, "Oh, you guys want to go happy hour? Yeah, I can go be happy for an hour." And then happy hour leads into, "Oh, we're going out until about 10. 10 leads to, "We're going out until about 2. Then you see them sitting around the water cooler the next day. "Hey, Jeff, how you doing?" And Jeff's sitting there like, I'm too old for this, man. It's very Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. Every single time, "I'm too old for this stuff. I'm too old for this stuff." That's just kind of the life and tear on football players. Eventually, everyone has to retire. But when you go into a scrum and people are throwing punches at each other in practice, you have one of two options. You either realize, "Yep, I'm going to battle with these guys," or, "You know what? It's been fun. I'm kind of done." Joe Looney decided to choose the latter.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
I think what's really fun in life is we never see the signs when they're coming. And this comes in so many different ways. Everyone wants to talk about breakups because of you go through something with someone, everything seems to be perfect, and then one day the next person goes, "It's over. We're done. We've moved on." And then you go, "How could I not see the signs, Michael? Mike, how could I not see the signs?" Well, you're either too in love or you're refusing to admit to see the signs. But there's a lot of signs in other things. I think another one that you can kind of bring up is any single time you're noticing a change in your own body or you're noticing a change in something with your health. And then you go to a doctor and they go, "Oh, you've been sick for a while." "Well, how did I not catch the signs?" Well, you were too busy, or you did and you ignored them. The San Francisco 49ers have sent out a sign in the last week and a half. They made it very clear that even though Jimmy Garoppolo can be the guy, doesn't mean he will. Trey Lance, guy drafted number 3 overall, somebody who has high value, a guy who Kyle Shanahan handpicked, not the organization picked, Kyle Shanahan handpicked him. So he's got to be able to run his system in his offense, in his team's locker room. Those are some signs. But John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers, went on a podcast and said this.
He's looked tremendous. He really has. You know, I think what's been most impressive about Trey, everyone wants to talk about physical traits, but the way he approaches his job, he's a pro in its truest sense. And we've got a lot of guys who love the game that are willing to do the necessary things to prepare. And I think Trey really is an embodiment of that. And he's looking good on the field, too.
Trey Lance looking good on the field, looking stellar on the field. And if you look at the 49ers social media or talk to any reporter who has been at camp, Trey Lance is killing it, guys. Trey Lance is the guy. He could start tomorrow. I think that was my favorite one. I got a text message from a guy who I know who covers the team. I goes, how's Trey looking? He goes, guy could start tomorrow. Maybe they would win, but they definitely would be competent. It's practice. Mike, it's practice. Not doing that. But it's practice. Let's see him suit up against a second-team defense who's been playing for a full year. Let's see him carve up that team. Then we'll start saying, okay, maybe he deserves to start. And that means starting the preseason to show that he can go up against some first-team defenders on drives. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and do that. When you look at San Francisco, though, they're making it abundantly clear. Hey, we love Jimmy Garoppolo, but we did upgrade, so give us an offer, and don't lowball us. Kyle Shanahan on Tuesday said Jimmy G, looks the best he ever has. Stellar. Fantastic. Moves ball in the pocket. Great IQ, high consistency, showing off the arm, looking the part. Yeah, you just drafted a guy number 3 overall. That was signal number 1. Now you're up-talking him like crazy because you realize we have a kid that we're not paying anything for. Let's go ahead and move this contract, get off of this at some point, and start building around him for the future. They're making it abundantly clear that they are going to build around Trey Lance and that Jimmy G, as good as he's been, and I think people kind of forget how good Jimmy Garoppolo has been for Kyle Shanahan and how lowly Kyle Shanahan has been without Jimmy Garoppolo. But I don't think Kyle Shanahan has forgotten that, because if he's saying, if you want Jimmy G, one, you got to make us an offer we can't refuse. And number 2, you got to make it a big price. We're not settling for, oh, you take on the contract in a 5th-round pick. No. We're not settling for, you give us 2 future 6th-round picks, and you take on all of his guaranteed money left on the next 3 years of his deal. No, they're not doing that. What they're doing is they're saying, you want Jimmy G, you're taking on his contract, but you're giving us at least a 3rd-round pick back. And at that point, I think there's some value to be had. Keep in mind that Jimmy Garoppolo was not traded for a 1st-round pick from New England. He came over in a 2nd-round pick. And 2nd-round picks are valuable. And I would say, usually anywhere between the top 40 to 45. Those are players that don't get drafted in the 1st round, but have so much value that you're willing to either trade up for them still, or maybe you trade it back to have a more coup de grace, cream of the crop style when selecting. Jimmy Garoppolo was traded for the number 47 pick, I believe. So again, not terrible. Fringe 1st rounder, definitely a 2nd rounder, 2nd round player, and he's lived up to it. When you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, he has 8 losses. 8 since coming over to the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan does not have a winning record in the NFL. Part of that is due to Garoppolo's injuries. And I think that's why the team has been willing to hold on for as long as they have. Because keep this in mind. There have been times where you look, Nick Mullins has looked competent. CJ Beathard has at least looked better as a, you know, backup who is filling in some reps. But Jimmy Garoppolo is the best of the bunch that Shanahan has worked with in the last 5 years since coming over from Atlanta. He's easily the best. No doubt about that. But what's interesting is that they want to move him because Trey Lance is showing off. Where are they going to move him to? And I think more than that, when do you move him? Because you want to get off that contract as soon as possible, and you got to move him before the trade deadline. So, the trade deadline is on November 2nd. Look at their schedule going into November 2nd. They played the Lions, the Eagles, at home against the Packers, at home against Seattle, on the road against Arizona, at home against Indianapolis, who we have no idea what they are, and then Chicago. I see right now maybe two losses with Jimmy Garoppolo starting. And say Jimmy Garoppolo is, as advertised, the best he's ever been. The top. The cream of the crop. All right, that's a win against Detroit. That's a win against Philly. That's probably a win against a still trying to figure it out Green Bay defense. Maybe a loss to Seattle, a win against Arizona, definitely a win right now against Indianapolis, and I still believe it's a win against Chicago. One loss, and you're going to trade him because of the upside of Trey Lance. It's dangerous if you're San Francisco because if everyone knows for a fact, you are moving off Jimmy Garoppolo, and the signs have been proven. More than anything, the signs were proven on Wednesday or Tuesday, when Kyle Shanahan said he's the best he's ever looked. Well, if he's the best he's ever looked, why did you draft and also trade away 3 first-round picks to go get Trey Lance? He ain't the best he's ever looked. He's looking good in practice. And you get that. And you understand that it's practice. But if he starts looking okay, and if Trey Lance starts looking okay throughout the entire first couple weeks, they get the win over Detroit, win over Philadelphia, two teams that have defensive woes right now, maybe that's worth a second-round pick for a team that's struggling or a team that's trying to contend. Denver's not paying anything for Drew Lock or for Teddy Bridgewater. Washington is paying nothing for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick has not played a full season since 2015 with the New York Jets. That's 6 years. Indianapolis. We so sold that Jacob Eason is the guy? We sold on that yet? I don't think so. Trey Lance, I believe, has the most upside of any quarterback in this last draft class, not named Trevor Lawrence. And I'll go on the record. I said this multiple times. You heard me on the Jake Asman show. I said Trey Lance would have easily been the consensus number two quarterback if he were to play a full season in 2020. He would have been, hands down. But he didn't. Now he's playing catch up. And people said, oh, Justin Fields, oh, Zach Wilson, hey, anyone love McCorkle? No, it's Trey Lance. Trey Lance has the upside. But what I do love is that San Francisco is trying to play up Jimmy Garoppolo. But maybe, just maybe, Jimmy Garoppolo is actually the answer for right now. And if he's not the answer for San Francisco, that doesn't mean it's not his fault. It means they're ready to go with Trey Lance. He's done his part. Let's go ahead and join another team to where you can do your part again. Speaking of teams in California, there was a team in the NBA that decided to make a bunch of different moves that I'm not so sure on. We'll talk about that next right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life your battery has left? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free, and if it does need to be replaced, they'll find you the right battery that fits your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day. So I love the intro, Mike. What's your favorite city in California?
San Jose.
Okay, I can go with that. And that's what is that? Like it's less than an hour outside of San Francisco, right?
45 minutes.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I love San Diego. I think San Diego is a really cool city. I think that it's kind of a gem hidden in the southern region.
It's probably the only city that I haven't visited in California.
So I love San Diego. I think it's really pretty. I love that when you look and you go on the harbor, it's really nice. And there's a lot to like about it. When you think about the beauty of California, you think of Los Angeles. You think of San Francisco. And San Francisco has some nice spots. But San Diego is a true gem. When you look at Los Angeles, which, by the way, as you know, that translates to English, the city of angels, it is more like the city of concrete. So what's concrete in Spanish?
Concreto.
So it's Los Concreto. Yeah, there you go. So the Los Concreto Lakers are basically concrete. Because I look at the moves that they made in free agency. I get it. I understand it. I see it. But that doesn't do anything for me. LeBron James is 36 years old. He is entering 37, my bad. He's entering the back half of his career. And I get it. You see, Tom Brady just celebrated his 44th birthday, and now he's getting ready for his 22nd NFL season. And you look at LeBron, and he's like, oh, I can do this as long as him. No, you can't. And the biggest reason why you can't, LeBron, is not because you're not talented enough, but also consider this in mind. You've been in the NBA since you were 18. He has been in the NFL since he was 23. So there's still a five-year difference where he wasn't playing. He was at college. You were already at the NBA. You're at that point in your career where you're not in your prime. You're more in the back half, but still quality era. It's like you're right before Michael Jordan was on the Wizards. You're right before that stage of your career. Yeah, in about 5 years, you're still going to be able to get some shots off. But you are definitely not the guy that I'm going to trust my franchise to be built around. And I'm definitely not trusting a bunch of veteran players who probably are no longer considered in their prime. I mean, look at the moves made by Los Angeles over the week. Carmelo Anthony, Westbrook, Malik Monk. You look at all those moves, Malik Monk might actually be the biggest one that's a winner. He might actually be the best one because of what were they missing last year? What were they missing over the time? They need three-point shooting. Guy comes off the bench and is great. He is great as a three-point shooter. Not a starter, and that's the good news, is that he doesn't have to be. Because you can have him back up either Wayne Ellington or Kendrick Nunn, or Russell Westbrook, and he can come in, he can make some plays. But he's good in one area. Three-point shooting. That's not going to get the job done. Neither is 35-year-old Dwight Howard, who is on his third stint with the Lakers. And if that's not enough, let's go ahead and get his backup, Mark Gasol, 37 years old, to play inside the paint. Westbrook is no longer in his prime. Westbrook is a fabulous player. One of my favorite players of all time. Love him. Not in his prime. Not playing at the highest level. He wasn't even the best guard on Washington last year. Bradley Beal was the best player on Washington. A lowly Washington team. Yeah, they made the playoffs, but then they do the two play-in games to get there. Still, trade away Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP for him. Buddy Hield, great three-point shooter, probably worth a starting lineup. Might have actually been a better deal. Wayne Ellington is 32. Trevor Ariza is 35. Carmelo is 38. He was in the same draft class as LeBron. He hasn't been a superstar in Portland. He's been a contributor at best. And you're coming out here and going, okay, let's go ahead and get the veteran core together. A 2013 All-Star roster. Let's go win a title. Doesn't happen. Look in every single sport right now. In the NFL, Tom Brady is fresh off a Super Bowl win. Fresh off of it. He has guys like Mike Evans in his prime. Guys like Donovan Smith still in their prime. Tristan Wirfs, a rookie. Defensively, Levante David in his prime. Shaquille Barrett in his prime. In the secondary, you have an Antoine Winfield on the rise. And you have guys who are slowly turning into their prime, like Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis, and Vita Vea. Look at baseball. Right now, the Dodgers, all-star lineup. Corey Seager in his prime, Trey Turner in his prime, Cody Bellinger about to hit his full-time prime. Walker Buehler on the mound is the new ace in his prime. And they have some veterans. They do. Max Scherzer still is an elite pitcher. I wouldn't say he's in his prime, but he's an elite pitcher. Because any single given moment, he could decline and be like, yep, see it coming. He's up there in age. Makes some sense. Clayton Kershaw is no longer the same pitcher he was back in 2012, 2013, when he was winning Cy Young's left and right. Still a good ball player, but not in their prime. LeBron's not in his prime. Westbrook is not in his prime. Trevor Ariza's not in his prime. Kendrick Nunn is not in his prime. The only one that's in their prime right now is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis at least can be stable. But on the flip side, he can't be healthy. So he may be in his prime. But if this is his prime where he's missing at least a fifth of the season, if not more, because of injuries, I don't really view that as somebody in their full-time prime. I view that more so as somebody who is irreplaceable, but also irreliable. That's what I look at. And you look at the other moves made around the NBA. This is not an age thing. I'm not blanking on the age thing. But Kyle Lowry, he's 35, goes to Miami. Joins with 32-year-old, I believe he is, Jimmy Butler. But it's a young core. Bam Adebayo, still in his 20s. You have Tyler Hero, who showed that he could be a starter, probably a better bench player. Barely 22. A couple of other guys around there. 24, 25, young core. Look at Golden State. Golden State saw some young pieces. There's some older guys, like Steph. But Steph, I would say, still is in his prime. He's still at that elite level. Draymond, definitely a great player, no longer in his prime, but still a great player. Klay Thompson, if he comes back healthy, still in his prime. And then you have guys up and coming like James Wiseman, who is not traded. So hopefully you build with him in year two. Phoenix, Devin Booker is still not in his prime. Mikal Bridges not in his prime. DeAndre Ayton not in his prime. Chris Paul past his prime, but playing as the veteran with guys who are slowly coming into their overall prime. Look at all that. Good teams and good free agent destinations show that we build with a young core, but get that veteran name in there. You flip it in Los Angeles. Old core, get that young Malik Monk name in there, who is no more than a depth bench player and great from behind the arc. That's our analogy to win. It doesn't work. Youth movement always wins. And the Lakers, they haven't impressed me in free agency.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
So, for any of you just tuning in for the first time, this is the first week of Just Saying It, and I want to be able to have staple moments in the show. Things that you, the listener, are going to come back and want to hear every single week. And you start to see it a little bit. Buy or Sell, Trivia Tuesday. Mike, I love Trivia Tuesday. Do you not like Trivia Tuesday?
That was fun.
I think it was fun, and that's one that we're going to use. But this is one that I remember using on a podcast right when I was out of college. And I got really good reviews by people. And now that I'm on the network, I'm going to bring it back. I'm not going to talk about the rankings of what you think. I'm going to talk about the rankings of just the dumbest stuff out there and the wackiest, zaniest stuff that I could think of. Because I think that it's fun. Because the people need more than just sports on a sports show. So welcome in to the very first edition of Ranks on Ranks on Ranks. Ranks on Ranks on Ranks. Here we go. First one up, top fictional head coaches of all time. Doesn't matter the sport. Doesn't matter what year the movie was made. As long as it was in a movie or television show, you were a game. And when I was doing this list, this was actually introduced to me as an idea by my buddy Stan. And I had to text him afterwards to go, you son of a gun. How did you know this was going to be super hard? He goes, good luck. There we go. So, honorable mentions that I just have to mention real fast. Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore was able to teach Happy Gilmore how to putt. Stan Marsh from South Park. For any of you who don't know why Stan Marsh is on this list, he took his team, little peewee hockey team, to the Pepsi Center. And they had no one to play. So instead, they lasted 20 minutes against the Detroit Red Wings. That alone is worth something. Jimmy McGinty from The Replacements. He took the Sentinels to the playoffs with a bunch of scrubs who were off the street. Hayden Fox from the TV show Coach. The show was called Coach. I don't think you can not put him at least on an honorable mention. Nate Scarborough in both the 1970 and the 2007 version of The Longest Yard. Great performance by Burt Reynolds. Miss him. And then Connor O'Neill from Hardball. If anybody does not know who the Kikumbas are, start looking up that movie and grab some tissues. It is a lot. So let's actually move on to our top 10. Number 10, Coach from Cheers. Guys, I don't know how many of you watch the TV show Cheers, but Coach was a staple. And the show never had that same energy when the actor passed away. But when I look at this from just an outside fan, the reason I would love to have Coach be my bartender is because I could talk ball with him, I could talk life with him, I could talk about anything that's going on in my own personal struggles, and he would go ahead, listen, help me through it, because that's what coaches do, all while serving me an ice-cold beer. That alone is worth a ranking. Guy who has wisdom, guy who is smart, guy who is willing to kick out the drunks, and more importantly, is willing to pour my tab until I close out. Gotta love having Coach. Rest in peace. That was such a great show. Me and my dad actually went up to Boston earlier this year, and we went right outside the bar. I really wanted to go inside the bar. It was just closed when we got there. That would have been really cool to have with my dad. Number 9, Lou Brown / Jake Taylor from the movie Major League. Major League is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is my favorite baseball movie, hands down. I love this movie with everything I have. But part of the reason I love this movie is Lou Brown. His straight man, definite, no-nonsense, dry wit has been a staple of comedy for so long. And you look at that team. Yeah, well, we're going to go out there and just win some games. Love the way Lou Brown approached everything. Wasn't willing to change his attitude and was working so hard to understand nobody is bigger than the team, he gave himself a heart attack. To which Jake Taylor, the former catcher, stepped up and helped the Cleveland Indians move past the Chicago White Sox in Major League 2 and into the World Series. Number 8, Mickey Goldmill. For any of you who don't know who Mickey Goldmill is, you know Rocky? You know that fictional character that has a statue of himself outside of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Yeah, none of that would have been possible without Mickey Goldmill. Goldmill was able to train Rock, get him into tip-top fighting shape, to help him take down the likes of Apollo Creed. Not once, but twice, technically, if you want to go that far. Apollo won the first round, but Mick was able to get him to fight. And he was the biggest thing of all that I love about Mickey Goldmill. He was the only person who believed in Rock. He was the only person who showed, if you have a dream, go ahead and live it. And I will help you reach that goal. Burgess Meredith, one of the greatest performances of him in all time. I look at his role when he was the Penguin on the Adam West show. This is so much better. Absolutely. Number 7, Mike, Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso. By the way, if you haven't seen the television show Ted Lasso, as somebody who used to want to write scripts for a living, it's the easiest concept, and I'm kicking myself in the head. Really? I can't just think of a guy who doesn't understand that football is not football overseas. Not in South Carolina. Just hells like that. It's witty, it's funny, it's charming, and the entire show is based off of Jason Sudeikis' dry wit comedy and ability to entice the audience into watching more. He's funny. He doesn't understand what he's doing, but the thing that you gotta love about him is he knows how to get his players to buy into the culture, even when the ship is burning from every end. Ted Lasso is 100% on that list.
He's a champion.
He is a champion. Wichita State. Now, here is the biggest champion. Number 6, Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball. Guys, I don't think you understand this, and I want you to know right now, the movie is called Dodgeball, an underdog story. This man did so much with so little and fixed the average Joes, a team that is basically saying, yep, we're average, what we gonna do about it, and turns them into a team that made it all the way to the finals behind his backing. And let's be real. If you play dodgeball, in your head, you say those 5 words. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Rip, torn, absolute, fabulous performance. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Let me ask you, if you're ever standing at a corner, do you ever just think to yourself, if I could dodge traffic, I could dodge a ball as you try to get past the other side of the street? Yeah, there's so many quotable lines, and they all come from Patches O'Houlihan. I'm not even kidding. He is the best character. It is not Len Goodman, played by Ben Stiller.
He was even coaching after he passed away in the movie.
Yeah, because you have Peter. He's standing up there, and he's putting on the mask. All right, Peter. Okay. Get it out. Loved Rip Torn. Rest in peace. One of my favorite performances of all time. Number 5, Norman Dale from Hoosiers. I think everybody kind of knew this one was coming. He's a guy who had a storied college career. It was derailed because he got a little bit too involved with the players. Dale returned to the high school ranks after what was supposed to be a really successful story. We've heard this tale a million times. A player who falls on their face, heads down to a younger group, and changes the culture. He was able to take the Hickory Hoosiers to the Indiana State title. And you better believe that the reason why was because if he taught them how to play basketball. Not just the ins and outs of shooting, scoring, finding ways to win in the paint, putting pressure on every single play. He taught them how to play the game the right way, with sportsmanship, with attitude, with the way of how you conduct yourself both on and off the court. There is no one out there who is able to find a way of making things happen. And proving that if you are coached up properly, you can be successful more so than Norman Dale. Number 4, and this is a really tough one because I really want to put him higher, but I couldn't because the other 3 are just so up there. Number 4 is Herman Boone from Remember the Titans. Now, I was controversial about putting this one on here because if technically he's not fictional. So that was a big reason is that I almost didn't put him on here. But a lot of these stories that we hear about in these movies, they're a little bit overly fictionalized. So they're not always true. But one thing you can take away is that Herman Boone, in the height of the civil rights movement, was able to take a school in Virginia, a segregated school that finally merged together, white players, black players, and told them straight up, you are here to play football. You are here because we believe that you are a football team. But more importantly, this football team is your family. learn how to play with your family. He did not fix racism. I'm not going to go out there because there's still a lot of work that can be done in this country today on a lot of different subjects. But what you can say is he was one of the very first people to show that we as people can come together, work out our differences. And when we do, we put something incredible out there as a result. Herman Boone comes in at number four. Almost didn't put him on the list, but I felt like I had to.
Almost.
He's not fictionalized. He's a real guy. It's hard for me to be like, I'm not going to put you on. Number three. This is a fictionalized guy, but a lot of people want to be like him. Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid. Let's be real. The only reason why he is above Mickey is because Mickey had to get up, Rock. Get up. You couldn't understand him half the time. You at least understood what Mr. Miyagi was saying. But he also had less stuff to train Danielson. He had so much less. That's why he said, wax on, wax off. That's why they were running on the beach. That's why they were standing on the pegs. He didn't have the equipment to train him into becoming a superstar. People who study in the martial arts take years and years and years to figure things out. Mr. Miyagi had Danielson do household chores to help beat Cobra Kai, to help beat Billy Zabka. He helped them by doing household ideas around the area. It shows that even some of the simplest tasks can help you achieve greatness down the line. Miss Miyagi, number three. Number two, Tony D'Amato, Any Given Sunday. This is such an easy one. Guys, when you look at Tony D'Amato, the owners, the players, the game, all felt had passed him by. He then adapted, he learned the system, and he walks away even greater than he ever could. And it's not because it's just coaching. Coaching is one thing. But it's about getting people to buy into the culture. It's about getting people to realize you're here for a reason. And I swear, if after you hear Al Pacino's speech with the Jamie Foxx look, we can do it. We can win this football game. You run through a brick wall, and that brick wall is coming down. Every single time, that brick wall is coming down. He is absolutely, hands down, the greatest motivational speaker when it comes to this list. But he's not the greatest coach of all time. Because coming in at number one, and if you don't know, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, meaning he can't lose the number one spot, Eric Taylor from the television show Friday Night Lights. Here's how good Eric Taylor is as a character. Kyle Chandler, the actor, has been in so many other things since leaving Friday Night Lights. Nobody knows him of anything else besides Eric Taylor. That's how you know a performance is so Oscar or Emmy worthy or memorable. Because if you only see them in that character. He took a team that lost Jason Street, a quarterback going to Notre Dame, to a state title with Matt Sarazen as his quarterback. Already, that is a win. That is already, you're the top of the list. Matt Sarazen as your quarterback gets you the win. On top of that, he then was able to fix the East Dillon Lions, a school that hadn't had football in decades. And then in the first year, he took down J.D. McCoy and the West Dillon Panthers before taking home a state title. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Easily, he is the favorite. Ranks on Ranks on Ranks. This is the first episode. Make sure you always tune in every Thursday. We'll close out hour one of Just Saying It after this.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Maybe it's not the finish that the United States women's soccer team wanted when they entered Tokyo earlier this year, but they are walking out with at least some hardware. It is now official. The U.S. women's soccer team has taken down Australia 4-2-3, taking home the bronze medal. Megan Rapinoe scored twice, once in the 8th minute and once in the 21st minute. Carly Lloyd scored the other two goals, once in the 46th minute and once in the 51st minute. What's interesting is this game almost was closer than people wanted. It at one point was 4-1, and then a minute later it was 4-2 when Caitlin Ford scored off a pass from Kaia Simon. And in the 90th minute, the last second, literally all you have after that is however much extra time, Emily Gelnick was able to score in the 90th minute to make it 4-3. A lot closer than probably fans wanted, a lot closer than the women's team probably expected. But hey, they're walking away with some hardware. And at the end of the day, there's only three programs in the world, that walk away with either gold, silver, or bronze. Everybody else is a straight-up loser, and I hate this one. Silver just means first loser. In the world, when you're at that level, you can be proud of whatever. And this is definitely not the women's best team overall that we've seen. So, at least they're walking away with something. Congratulations, ladies. Welcome back to the States.